Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McArabia of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, first off, congratulations on the win last week. You've had a little extra time to look back on it now. So does anything about how your team played last week kind of stand out on later viewing?
It was what it looked like on camera and in person. Is we just had to figure it out. We had to do the correct things we knew how to do in the game when the bullets were flying. We had to do what we, you know, do the right things, not just off talent alone. We had to do the correct things, get our hats in the correct places, assignment, alignment, technique. Once that happened, then we were able to do what, you know, potentially what we can do athletically.
Got a good look at Evan under center last week. Is the quarterback competition still the three guys? Should people expect to see all three of them this week?
Well, one of them's hurt, and so you should see two of them. The battle's still going, and then when the third one gets back next week, you'll see. We're gonna evaluate all of them and make sure we got the right guy.
You get the chance finally to open up this new stadium, get fans in here for the first time. So just what should people expect as they get here, and how are you feeling about, you know, getting fans their first look at the new home of Diggs?
We're gonna be excited to host it. I think this team is gonna be enthusiastic about, you know, that first home game, but not lose sight of the task at hand. So we want to give everybody a good show. We want to compete well for them.
And I guess just what would be the key to putting on that good show for the fans and coming out this week with another win?
I think people want to see us be technicians, be good at what we do. And so there's a process to that. You have to read your keys, fire off, be more aggressive than the guy in front of you. I think if we do that, we'll give the people what they came for.
All right, that was Jays head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, the Cavaliers got off to they got off on the right foot last week, getting a season opening win 41-29 at Warrensburg. I guess the first kind of question is how happy are they with maybe the 41? How happy are they with the 29? And overall, what did they think about, you know, last week's win?
There was a lot of kind of the same issue we saw early on last season, a little fumble trouble. The Cavaliers, I think, lost three early on,
okay. Or
it might have been two early on and one later, but fell behind 16 points. Very happy with, after that, outscoring Warrensburg 34-6.
Right.
So overall, happy with the effort. A little upset about the self-inflicted wounds early on.
Okay.
That's been kind of the focus, I think, trying to not fall in that hole to start, or put yourself in that hole to start.
Sure.
But, you know, helps out when you got a Jalen Thomas just putting the team on his back the rest of the game.
Right. You're obviously looking for somebody at that point to give you a spark. It's not like he gave him a spark the whole rest of the way.
Yeah, 286 yards and 5 touchdowns will give you quite a spark.
Right.
And he rattled off, I think, 3 over 40 touchdowns.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of big plays.
Right.
You know, kind of started with a big kickoff return where he got hit late, and then next play was running pretty mad and scored a touchdown
Right. Instantly.
So
yeah,
there was a he definitely carried the team last week.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those things where it's easy to look at and go, okay, season openers are season openers. You're always going to have things that go wrong, things that go right, and you just hope that on par, you hope that you got to do enough things right that you come out with a victory. So I don't think you can kind of, you know, fault them for going, okay, we got the win, that's what matters. I think it's just one of those games where you go, okay, you know, I think those are more informative from the standpoint of how does it play out, what sort of things happen. Obviously, they show that there's the ability to come back, there's ability to get hit in the mouth and respond. you know, that's what you want to see is okay, can we make in-game adjustments? Can we fall behind and come back? So I guess if you're looking at, you know, things on par, you just go, hey, look at this. We did a number of things right in order to get a victory, so we've got to be pleased about it.
Well, and I think the big one is, you know, can we recover when we make a mistake?
Sure.
Right? You know, when you lose two fumbles early on, two or three, can you rebound and not let that kill your mentality?
Right.
Right. I think that's the really big one. You know, other teams are going to do what they're going to do. And if another team hits on a big play or two early on and you fall behind, that's one thing. If it's your fault that you're behind and you're able to respond the way Capital City was that week, I think that's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a great showing to be able to say, like, hey, we did this to ourselves.
Right.
We're the reason we're behind 16 points in the second quarter. Now let's go dominate.
Yeah, let's go fix it. Yeah, we screwed up. Let's go fix it.
Yeah.
It bears mentioning, too, that it is just week one. You know, there's going to be things are going to be different, from, you know, in a couple weeks than they were from here. They're going to be a couple weeks beyond that, they're going to be even different from that. Mm-hmm. The big thing, I guess, is it sounds like there's a little bit, we're not going to say competition, but there's some intrigue maybe at quarterback from the standpoint of it sounds like, okay, we were still trying to figure out what that position is going to be this year. And it's just game one, so maybe we don't know for sure yet.
Well, we definitely don't know yet. So going into week one, it was a competition between three guys, Parson Ochesky, Isaiah Franklin, and Evan Schaefer. Isaiah Franklin didn't have the required number of practices to participate in week one, so he was out. It was just Ochesky and Schaefer. Ochesky got hit at the very end of the second drive of the game, I believe, and they took him out precautionary for an injury. So the sophomore Evan Schaefer got, you know, to play pretty much the last three quarters of the game, got to lead the comeback as the quarterback.
Yep.
And Ochesky is still going to be out this week. He's the only major injury, but Isaiah Franklin is now available to play, so we'll see probably both Isaiah and Evan this week.
Okay. So I guess, you know, while it's, you know, I don't know, it depends on your perspective, I guess. Sometimes you'd rather be settled there. Sometimes, you know, it's just like, okay, well, we're not, so there's not much we can worry about it. We'll just figure it out as it goes along. I think it's, you know, obviously you'd maybe like to have maybe one more, you know, non-conference game before so you can figure that out before you have to kind of know, okay, who are we and what are we at that position? But you don't this week. You know, you're playing tonight versus Battle, 7:00. It's the opener for not only, you know, the new stadium, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it's also your opener for conference play. So it's like, you got to be ready for tonight. You know, it's time to go. This is an important game because it's going to count towards a conference slate.
Absolutely, and it's a district game too, so,
yep,
you know, that'll be big. I think it's not a question of which of the three is capable of running the offense. I think, especially after what Evan Schaefer showed last week, I think all three of them are capable of running the offense and doing a good job. It's just who's going to do it best.
Yeah.
So, and especially talking to Coach Collier the last couple of weeks, he is very confident in all three of those guys being able to go out and do a very good job.
Sure.
So it's not necessarily, you know, if it's two of these three guys, we're screwed. It's just which of these three is going to be the hot hand.
Right. Before we get too much into Battle, let's back up just a little bit because I did mention it. It is going to be the opening of, you know, the Cavaliers' new stadium.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit in last week's podcast, but I do feel like it's worth noting again that, you know, this is going to be one of those games that, you know, there are certain things that come around more than once every so often, then there are certain things that just come along once every blue moon, to speak of the blue supermoon we've had lately. But it is going to be one of those things where this is going to be a first. You know, this is going to be the first game at the new stadium. So I got to imagine this is going to be some emotions, the likes of which you're not going to see for a lot of the rest of the games on your schedule.
Well, I know the players are very excited. We heard Coach Collier talk about it and when I was talking to him at the top, but, you know, they want to put on a show. They want the fans to be real excited. This, like you said, it's the first time, and there's only going to be one first time with this stadium. So they want it to be, you know, an exciting, fun experience for the fans.
And those sort of things snowball. So again, every home team kind of wants to have a home field advantage. Sometimes it's lip service, you know, it's just like, oh, nobody comes into our house and beats us, and then you see teams get beat all the time at home. But, you know, this is your first chance to kind of get off on the right foot and get a win and maybe make it a place where you go, okay, not only because if you can do that, it makes it harder for teams to go in there and go, well, we're just going to roll in there and get a win, but it can create a mentality and kind of get things going where you're like, hey, the first burst of confidence, you can get a win here now, and then you can maybe get a win the next time you're there, then all of a sudden you're like, man, we're unbeatable at home. So I think this game's got a lot riding on it just from a sort of, long-term standpoint, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I think, looking back on last season, especially once we got closer to the end and it was clear that Capital City was a pretty good team.
Right.
The fans did a pretty good job of filling up Adkins Stadium.
Right.
I would expect, with the raised expectations of coming into this year and what fans, students all think this team can be.
Right.
They're ready to come out too and support, and I think they'll do a pretty good job of packing that stadium.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's going to be one of those things where, you always say, well, make sure you're there early so you can get a seat. I would say this is probably one of those games where you're going to tell people, get there early so you can get a seat.
Yeah, absolutely. And, get there early so you can get a good parking spot.
Right.
The main parking's going to be down in kind of that back lot of the school. I've heard there's also a gravel parking lot that you can get to off of Mission Drive. I don't know how big that is.
Right.
So, you might have to get there real early for that one, but that'll be, a quick entrance into the stadium. From the school, you got to go down a big ramp, but I think everybody's just going to be excited to be there, get there early, have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's turn our attention to battle a little bit. It's a battle team that struggled last week. I mean, they lost 52-6 at Park Hill. It's a battle team that's, I think more than anything else, probably just still trying to find its identity from the standpoint of they lost their head coach, pretty late in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird to have to replace a head coach with, I think, 2 to 3 weeks before the season.
Right.
So that's just a big change to go through. I think all of their assistants remained.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of, of crossover there, of stability. They're probably keeping the same offensive and defensive systems that they were planning on.
Right.
And, the new coach is just coming in and just kind of facilitating.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
But yeah, that's definitely a big change, especially when you're replacing a lot of the production, especially offensively, that you got last year.
Yeah. The new head coach is Matt Herman. He takes over for Jonah Dubinsky, who was there for 2 seasons. So it's not like he was there for a whole lot of time to kind of, give them some stability from the previous regime change. But you do hope that, from their standpoint, that at this point you're just trying to kind of steer the ship in the kind of the same direction and hope that it kind of keeps going that direction. But it's not an ideal situation for the Spartans. So I got to imagine that, these first couple weeks of the season are just going to be trying to find their footing and figure out, who are we and what do we got.
Right. And Herman's a former assistant. So he's coming back after, I think, a year or two coaching in Hawaii.
Okay.
So he knows kind of what the program is, what they're trying to do, and can kind of keep it rolling, at least from what they've done previously. But yeah, it's definitely a big, very odd change to go into a season, having known your head coach for 2 weeks.
Exactly. So you kind of mentioned it. It does sound like there's some changes too. I mean, you mentioned the losing quite a bit of offensive production. What can we expect? Maybe what does maybe Battle have that we as maybe a known commodity for us from maybe last season?
Really, the only known commodity offensively is going to be DeQuell Wright at receiver. He's electric. He made a bunch of big plays in the 2 games against Capital City last year.
Okay.
But, Ricky Dunn, who pretty much carried him to the playoff win last year, is gone. Justin Goolsbee, who I think had multiple 90-yard touchdowns against Capital City last year, is gone. Especially based off the week 1 performance, it's hard to tell. They had a lot of turnover trouble too. I think they had 6 total, 2 interceptions and 4 lost fumbles.
Yeah.
So, hard to really judge the offense on that.
Sure.
Just, too many mistakes to really tell you what the offense is.
Yeah.
But yeah, DeQuell Wright's really the only one who maybe Capital City fans are going to remember from last season.
Okay. And then defensively, I mean, it's a defense, obviously, that gave up 52, but that's, like you say, that could be a product of, short fields, turnovers, putting them in bad spots, that maybe sort of thing. So obviously, nobody kind of knows what they've got after 1 game of the season, so they're still probably figuring out, but is there maybe anybody that, that should concern Capital City from, in terms of this battle guy on defense is going to be, a tough load to handle?
Coach Collier mentioned the linebackers, but no not any individuals that really jumped out. He said the linebacking core as a whole is pretty good.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this defense returned a majority of its starters from last year, but last year was also a defense that gave up a lot of explosive plays.
Right.
That was, I mean, that was most of the two games against, you know, between Capital City and Battle. It was just explosive play after explosive play. I think there were 6 touchdowns of more than 45 yards in the regular season matchup last year, going both ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the issue with the team last year. It seems like that was probably also an issue in week one. So really, you know, how much progress are you really looking for if that was your issue all of last year and you're returning most of the starters and running a similar system?
Yeah.
I would expect them to, you know, stack the box like everybody does against Capital City.
It's kind of,
you know, nobody's leaving safeties back against the Cavaliers anymore.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. Maybe those linebackers are able to plug some holes and, you know, contain the Capital City running backs, but we'll see.
Okay. Obviously, it's early, but the main thing you want to ask about is, okay, how did last week go in terms of everybody come out of it unscathed last week? How are we looking for on the injury front?
Outside of Parson Ochesky, everybody's healthy. Parson, not sure what the, you know, prognosis is or how long to expect him out, but I know he's out this week.
Right. And then I guess just from the standpoint of comparing this week to last week, how nice is it to not be worrying too much about the weather tonight heading into this one? And how much of an impact did it end up making last week in terms of any stoppages, any cramping, anything like that?
You know, I'm happy about it. I don't think it affected the game too much last week with the pushed back start. You know, once the sun went down, it really wasn't that bad. There were a few cramps, but there's always a few early in the football season.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel like there was a crazy amount for week one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, assumedly we'll see a few less, and then next week a few less than that, you know, and just kind of moving our way down. But I don't think the weather had a huge, huge effect last week other than the pushback start.
Okay. And I guess that gets us to the prediction point then. And how do you see this one playing out tonight?
I think the Cavaliers are going to win. I'm expecting a lot of explosive plays again, and I'll say Capital City wins 34-24.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.